Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Welcome to another episode of the Christopher Terrence Jones Show. You know what to do right now. Share the podcast. Don't keep it to yourself. Share, 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 and share alike. Thank you guys for supporting me on this journey. Thank you for supporting me, even though I haven't been here for a minute, because so much has just been going on. So, you've shared. You've liked, you've commented in the past. Continue to do the same thing. I appreciate you so much. You just don't know how much I do. So, let's play catch up. So, you guys know that I got my ancestry back. And I've just really been, you know, processing that. And finding out that the man that I knew technically wasn't my father, was actually not my father, just getting it in, processing that. And so found some cousins along the way, and I'm just, wherever it ends up is where I'm going to end up, is that's where I am with that right now, because it is a process and it's a very emotional journey as you go down, because stuff that you've been accustomed to changes and you start to find out information, and it just makes you replay so much stuff in your head as when you were a kid. And also the fact of, my family did this. And so just getting over that has been a process. So I thank God for that. But I just said, let me just continue to work on me. And one of the things about working on me is being truly happy. I live my best life. There were some areas in my life that I wasn't completely happy with. And I thought about it. If I can scroll back and look at Facebook memories, my timeline, my Apple photos that come up on my iPhone, and I'm always smiling. Even when I was going through the roughest times, I'm always going to know that I'm going to make it. So, I really have just been trying to get comfortable in my skin and make some decisions about the next phase of life for me. The next phase of life for me is 32 years that I've been driving the school bus. 32 years. The COVID pandemic has came through and totally changed school busing. And so that is why I am in Oregon, Coos Bay, because we only get 5 hours. And I've always made my money by doing field trips. And in California, we don't have any field trips. So I have been here, and it has been my prayer that God will allow for me to stay here until June. Because in June, I've decided to make the decision to transition from being a school bus driver to becoming a truck driver, because that is guaranteed pay, guaranteed hours, and it takes me out of my comfort zone. And when I say takes me out of my comfort zone, it allows me to go through some doors that previously I wouldn't be able to go through. It allows me to have the ability to go purchase a house. As a school bus driver, right now, if I purchase a house, I got to move way to the ends of the earth. The income changes so much being a truck driver. It allows me to do different things. And you guys have heard me talk about this before. I have been constantly building my credit and getting my credit score to where an adult should have a credit score, because as a kid, you weren't taught as a kid, as when I was a kid, you weren't taught that credit was very important. So, you know, I did what most people did. I just played around with it. And now playing catch up 40 years later, 50 years later, is where you're at. So I was like, I've been battling about what to do with the next phase of life. Because where do you go? What do you do next? And as I started looking at other options, nothing was coming up. And I thought about, okay, well, maybe I'll go back in the office and go back in as a manager. And I was like, I just don't want to be stuck and confined. That was the reason I left the office, was because I was over emails. I was over tired of being in the office and having to deal with different attitudes. And so I got a chance to hang out with my good friend, Tristan, who I hadn't seen in a long time. And he lives in Washington, which, you know, I hadn't just put the stuff together. So when I was in Portland, he met me in Portland. And he was telling me how trucks no longer use logs. And they're automatic and they have an app on the phone and everything. And also that there are a lot of trucks now are not stick shifts anymore. And I drove a stick shift for years. I was like, I just don't want to do that no more, especially in traffic. Oh my gosh, shifting is not fun in traffic, especially not in some big humongous vehicle that's subject to roll backwards on a hill. So I was like, okay. And so I got here. I was here laying in the room one day. And I called a trucking company and I started talking with the guy. And when I looked at it in my mind, I was like, well, wait a minute. So now they're automatic. So the only thing that I'm going to have to really work on is the pre-trip. And so I don't have to be in school for all this time because they're automatics. I already have a commercial license. And he told me that I would only have to do 2 weeks compared to what other people are doing, the 8 weeks, because I already have the license. All I have to do is work on the pre-trip stuff and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, that's really cool. And it was automatically guaranteed money. And let me tell y'all, when he said the amount, I got scared. Because the amount that he's talking changes everything about me. And just being fearful of change has always been something for me. I've always tried to stay in the same lane, stay in my comfort zone. And I've always been about making sure that everybody else was happy in all things. And not really worrying about if I was happy. I was always smiling. I was always having a good time. But at this junction in life, I now have to work on Christopher Terrence Jones being happy. And let me tell you, I love driving the school bus. I love field trips. I love that, going to the museum, being able to do something different all the time. But with that being gone, I don't like just the piece of doing home to school, because that piece is not fun to me. That's when it becomes boring. I like the ability to be at a museum today, seeing an exhibit that most people don't get to see. Amusement parks, yeah, y'all love amusement parks. That amusement parks is when I go to restaurants to go eat. And that's the other thing. I'm in so many different places when you do field trips. You get the chance to go to all of these different restaurants, and me being a foodie, I love good food. So that works wonders. And so I thought about it and I was like, but I don't want to be gone, because when I was a tour bus driver, your life was not yours. They stuck you in that truck, in that bus, and you were just gone. It didn't matter. If you wanted to do something else, they kept you gone. And I just didn't want to be like that. So I was like, okay. And when I talked to the guy, he said what their goal is now in trucking is to make sure that you're as home as much as you want to be. And he said you could get a standard route where all you do is deliver to maybe Arizona come back, deliver a couple of areas, and then try that. Or you may be gone 2 days, home 3 days, gone another 2 days, or gone 3 days and home 2 days. And I'm like, that's what I would be all right with. And y'all know I love a good hotel room. You put me in a nice hotel room, I'm in seventh heaven. I love the whole concept of packing luggage. Y'all know that's just, it's something about it. That's why everybody's like, you would be a really good flight attendant. But see, the problem is with being a good flight attendant, you got to deal with the people. See, with a truck, I only have to deal with the people when I pull up to deliver or when I pull up to pull off. As a flight attendant, and I thought it would be a really good thing for me too, because I love to travel. I was like, oh, that would be cool. But you really have to deal with so many people and their attitudes. And let me tell y'all, on the open highway, when I'm in the car by myself, which, because I love driving, I am all into my singing. I don't care what the notes sound like. It's me and the music. And a lot of times it's me and worship, because that's when I'm just one with God. I truly can have worship in the car because it's my space. Nobody else has to be in there. It doesn't have to be any show. It's just me and God. And that's just an amazing thing. So I was like, okay. Now, but I didn't want to just quit abruptly in the middle of the school year like this. So I was like, Lord, please let me be able to make it to June. Let this thing hold off to June. And then when we hit, I'll have the 2 weeks to go do the training, which I'm going to have to go to Southern California if I decide to go with this one. Now, y'all know I'm picky about stuff. I love CR England. They drive these beautiful red trucks, and y'all know red is my favorite color. And I was like, oh, yeah, I want to drive that. But I called this other trucking company, and they have a location in Stockton. So I was like, so wait, I really want to move to LA. Y'all know I want to move to LA. Perfect spot for me to be. And I was just like, but if I start here with this other company, I can just transfer. So that way I can already get my feet wet and start that process and start getting comfortable and then transfer to Los Angeles, because it's still some areas in Los Angeles, which, you know, I don't know. I drive a lot of areas there because I was there every weekend in the tour bus and driving there, San Diego and all of that stuff. So I was like, okay, let's see how this is just going to, you know, play out for me. And I just really came to that I have to get out of my comfort zone and let's push. Let's do this. My license for the school bus is good for another 5 years because I renewed. And if it was there, I could always fall back on it. But I don't want to do it. I don't want to fall back. I want to step out. God opens the door, and I want to step through the door that he's opening and continue. Because no matter what, when I'm in worship time, when my dad passed away in 2014, God told me he had me. No matter what came my way, God told me he had me. No matter what came my way, God had me. And I picked up a book, which is a journal, and it's my goal that I just start writing some things down. And on the cover, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." That's Jeremiah 29 and 11. And that's truly what I hear God saying for me. I know the plans for you. He created the plans for me. So I have to just get past the uncomfortable space of saying, hey, get out your comfort zone. Do something different. And this is not my first time traveling. I've been a travel driver for several years, and I've, you know, done it many times. This one was the most I don't know what I could say. It was the most eye opener for me, because let me tell y'all, while I've been here, if you follow the Instagram, follow my Facebook, you've seen me. I got out and I've done the waterfalls. I went searching for waterfalls and I got stuck on a hill, on a waterfall, scared to come down. And y'all heard me talk about that. But that was an eye opener for me when God sent the men to help me up off the hill. Once again, telling me, I got you. I got you. Went on to my next waterfall. Got you. Now, I've always walked when I'm on a field trip. I get out and go walk. I'll do like 3-4 miles and go on back to the bus. Hiking, y'all know me, scared of snakes. So I don't really have really not done that. But with other people, I've been able to do it. So I've seen some amazing things here on this Oregon coast. And it just showed me that there's so much more to life. Just because one chapter is closing doesn't mean that the next chapter is not going to show you something different. So watch me as I go on this journey, because as I start to travel across the country in a truck, I'm going to see even more. I don't want to drive in the snow. I want y'all to know that. That is not my thing. So during snow season, I'm going to be like you. I want to do local trips. I do not want to be out in the middle of nowhere. When the sun is shining, I'm all good, baby. I'm all good. I don't really like to drive in the rain no more. You know, just getting older. Because people just drive crazy. And I sure don't like to be out when it's foggy. Because so much happens. But that's where we are with that. And just taking the chances and pushing my fears aside. That's what you have to do. Get to a point in life where whatever fears you have, I still have one fear. So I'm not saying that I got rid of everything. Y'all know my biggest fear is needles. So that's why me and this getting the vaccine is a real issue. I'm down when they get a pill, baby. I will take the pill. I promise you, I will take 2-3 pills, whatever it is. But when it comes to needles, me and needles, we ain't friends. So just the whole thought, my blood pressure goes up, I get lightheaded, the whole nine. It's just a whole fear. And people talk, oh, it happens so quick. Yeah, because you're all right with that. When I got the kidney stones a couple of years ago and I was in the hospital and the girl came in and was trying to put the IV in, and I had my mother on the phone, and my mother was saying, let her do it. I was like, no, bring me some Motrin, bring me some Vicodin, bring me some morphine, something. I don't care what it is. And the girl was like, oh, this works so much better. And she started sticking me. And I told that girl, the only reason I ain't hit you is because I'm in so much pain from the kidney stone. But I know you gonna leave a bruise on my arm because you done stuck me so many damn times. So I was like, I'm gonna kill you if you don't get away from me with that needle. And so when the doctor came back in, they brought in an experienced nurse. And I'm telling you, I looked away and was talking to the doctor. And yeah, she had it in. But I'm telling y'all, I was in so much pain from the kidney stone that I couldn't even really focus. The pain, the little prick, it was like a little prick is what it felt like. And way before then, oh, them needles have just, oh my God, I have just died. Just died. So I'm not over that fear yet, but I tell y'all, I've conquered a lot of other fears, stuff that I just wouldn't normally do. And so my other goal now is, they were booked. I was going ziplining. So that is on my list of things to do. Also on my list of things to do is go horseback riding. Y'all know I've been scared of horses. So I'm over that. I'm pushing past. And I'm going to do all that while I'm here. I'm going to do it while. And now my ride or die Gina went back home because her school is starting. So I'm here by myself. And I'm going to do the zip line by myself, because you go there and you go with other groups, and I'm just going to do that. I'm going to get out and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to stop myself from being living life. Just basically living life. That's where that is. So, y'all stay tuned. Follow me on this journey as we do this. I promise you, you're going to love it. Because every step and every round goes higher and higher and higher. You get me? You feel me? Every round goes higher, higher, and higher. So, I wanted to talk about this too. Donnie McClurkin did a TV one. If you guys watch the show, it's called Uncensored. And I watched it. The sound bites that they put out were just not elaborated to what he was saying. And basically, he was saying that he really wanted a family and he wanted to have what society calls a family, man, woman, kids, 2.5 kids, house, white picket fence, all of that. That's what he wanted. But because of his lifestyle, y'all know that he has struggled with his sexuality. And so he went back and forth and he's had relationships with men and women. And because place that where he truly feels comfortable and that he knows is for him is being in a relationship with another man. And we know that the church is so far against same gender loving relationships, same gender loving people. So let's just have a conversation about that. Let's just have a conversation about that. Let's just stay on this for a second. The church, who the place where you're supposed to go to for support, the place where you're supposed to be able to go and talk to the pastor, talk to the ministers, where you're supposed to feel comfortable, this is the place that tears you down. Constantly, they beat you down. They stomp you into the ground if you don't fit the category they want you to fit. Now, mind you me, and let me say this so that everybody's clear. There are some ministers out there who live the word of God exactly to the T of what the Bible says. I mean, to the T. Now, when I was younger, this one's hard. When I was younger, I was like, okay, so the Bible says this, and being gay is a sin, being gay is this, and I was just totally in agreement with that. But as I've gotten older, I'm like, God knew this would be a part of who we are. He knows the plans that he created for us. He knows the path that we're going down. So if he knows this and he created us, why is it so hard for people to accept people walking in the direction that God has aligned them to go? And I mean, it's so many people have so many different thoughts and views on being same gender loving and, oh, you're going to go to hell. They only can come up with one scripture. It's always the same scripture. Man shall not lie with another man. That's the only thing that they can come up with. But then they forget about all of the other scriptures for the stuff that they're doing. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Hello. 5 million pastors got 5 million kids. Fornication. Pastors shacking up. But then this is the one that really gets me. the pastors who sleeping with men and still up there preaching against it. It's taken me a long time to get comfortable in knowing who Christopher Terrence Jones was and is. I am a strong black male, comfortable in who I am. And let me tell y'all, being from the church is probably the reason why most of us can't get into and stay in committed relationships, because we're so worried about what other people think instead of living our lives unapologetically, because it just makes no sense that we all run around here, everybody being single, because the church is not allowing it. The church is not doing it. And what I don't get is, for years, they said women couldn't be preachers and women couldn't be pastors. So, explain this to me. How do so many women have such strong ministries? Large followings. If they can do that, and everybody has preached against it, are they going to hell? Are they going to be, because there's still churches that shun these women pastors. The Church of God in Christ still does not allow women to be in major positions. So, and that's one of the largest denominations out there. If they are not all right with it, but yet God is still blessing these women in their ministries as pastors. God is blessing them. But y'all say the Bible says that's wrong. What about when you come up with pastors who have husbands? Pastors who have wives that are same gender loving, and their churches are flourishing. And they're doing amazing and wonderful things. Where are we with that? But what I do know is on the end, on the last day, when you stand before God, it's not going to be anybody else there but you and Him. And I'm telling y'all, my prayer is daily that God just let me live a life that's pleasing to you. Now, y'all know, my mouth sometimes gets me in trouble. But I'm trying to get better at that. I'm trying to get better at that. And I just think we need to focus on healing the black church. Because there's been so much hurt, so much damage caused by people taking other people's lives into their own hands and saying, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. And we end up, because sometimes so many people could be in so many more relationships, but they've let people dictate their outcomes. And sometimes I feel like I've fallen into that. Sometimes I feel like I fell into that by letting others dictate who I was supposed to be with and how I was supposed to live my life. And I feel sorry for myself because I go with the shoulda, coulda, wouldas. And the shoulda, coulda, wouldas always get you in trouble. But everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. And you have to tell yourself that. And my desire is for Donnie to just get to the place where you can accept who you are Have your conversation with God. Don't let anybody else deter you from being happy. Because tomorrow is not promised. We saw this during the pandemic. We saw people die daily. Thousands. Daily. And do you want to be where your whole existence, you never were in a happy, progressive, fruitful relationship, and you were always depressed because you were always alone? Who wants to be like that? And I guess, I mean, there are some people out there that want to do that. But I don't want that for anybody. I want people to have love. It's just like, the best way I can say it, Pose is in its final season. And if y'all have never watched Pose on FX, it is an amazing show. It took me on an emotional roller coaster of back into the 80s when people were dying from HIV daily. Just daily. Oh my God. It took me back. But I love the show because I got to see myself. I got to see myself. And for those of y'all that don't know, and I've talked about it before as well, my brother ran a house out of my house. So I had all of these kids who have slept in my house, lived in my house. I mean, everything, because their parents put them out because of who they chose to be and who they chose to love. And my desire and my goal was always for them was to be able to be happy and not always be walking around crying, not always depressed. So Pose took me back, and that's why I say it was an emotional journey. But what else I liked about Pose is, like I say, we got to see ourselves on TV. And it really hurt me that after only two seasons, you come up and say that this is the third season, we're going to end. Because we basically have said all that we have needed to say. And I'm like, no. When you get the world accepting, everybody's not going to be accepting of same gender loving. But we moved to where Billy Porter won an Emmy for the outstanding lead actor in the drama series. That's a major deal. He was the first same gender loving man to do so. That's a big thing. And so I was like, why do we have to take something? And it's not that we're forcing same gender loving people onto people, but it gave people the ability to watch something that they wouldn't normally watch on TV and see a different side. Why is it that every time we get a decent show that has good writing, they want to take it down and tear it down? And now here we go. So let me say with people of color, let's start there. And so same gender loving people of color. We had that with Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark was the biggest show on his channel on Logo at that time. And what happened? They took it off. They had the best ratings, everything. People were coming there and you killed the show. Now we know there were some other things behind the scenes that everybody doesn't know. But here we go again. Now, they're doing a reboot of Queer as Folk. Why are you bringing back a show that didn't even have the ratings as Noah's Ark, but you're bringing back? But see, that's what I'm saying. A cast full of people of color, same gender loving, is just so hard. And if people really could just get to the point in their lives where they spent more time worrying about themselves and what go on in their household and stop worrying about what the next person do, this world would be such a better place. Because let me tell you, I don't care what you do. As long as it don't have anything to do with me, I don't care what you do. You could be jumping from ceilings in your house, from one ceiling to the next, trolling across the chandeliers. I don't care. Because I'm not trying to come tell you how to live your life. I just want to live mine in peace. Especially, I got so many negatives going. I'm a black man. I'm a black same gender loving man. I'm a black tall man. Fearful. Make people fearful. They're on the elevator. They're clutching their purses. Yes, that does happen to me. Yes, it does. Years ago, I was at a gas station and I was in the company vehicle on my side pumping gas. And I got out, I went back to the car for something and I walked back. And the woman on the other side of the pumps rushed and closed her door and started talking about, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And I'm like, "Lady, what the hell are you talking about?" "Oh, I thought you were trying to take my purse." I said, "Well, how the hell would I try to take your purse from my side of the pumps? I'm over here minding my business on my side of the pumps. What the hell are you talking about?" No matter where you're at, I was in Marin County in a company vehicle where I was the manager of the company. I wasn't just so anything. I was the manager. Driving in a brand new vehicle that I had helped secure the purchase of as the manager by making quotas so that we could do new things. And here this white woman is scared of me. So why can't we just get to the point where we can just live our lives? And that also leads me to talk about the coming out. I don't understand that. Why do we have to have coming out stories? Why do we have to proclaim to the world, blase, blase, blah, blah, blah? The guy from 911 Lone Star, Rubenstein, one of them, he just came out. I don't understand why we have to have this big old coming out ceremony. Straight people don't come out. "Oh, hey, y'all. I just wanted to announce to the press, I'm straight. Yes! I love women. I love men." So why do same gender loving people have to do that? I don't need to go over to the newspaper and take out this big section. "Hey, y'all, I just want y'all to know that I love men." It sounds stupid. It really, really is stupid. I just don't get why you just can't be yourself. Let me tell y'all something. I don't lead with "I'm gay" when I meet somebody. "Hi, I'm Christopher Terrence Jones. How are you doing?" That's what I lead with. The next thing after that, my conversation is, "Hey, I'm an event planner. Here's my car. I do white parties. I do wine trips." I lead with that. I don't turn around and say, "Hey, I'm gay. So just so you know that." Because when I'm in that moment of introducing myself, I don't feel like I have to tell you what I do in my bedroom. Why are you concerned about what goes on in my bedroom? Because I'm not asking you what goes on in yours. I'm not saying, "Hey, oh, so you're gay? Oh, so you sleep with women? So you're a lesbian?" Oh, why? I don't care. That it's ludicrous to me that we have to even lead with that and we even have to do stuff like this. When are we going to push past the foolishness? When are we going to get past the drama of "I'm a same gender loving person, that's it"? If it's something that you need to know because you want to date me, then we can have a conversation about that. But don't sit up and we're in the middle of drinking wine and you got to know who I sleep with. For what? What difference does it make? Is the wine good? Are you enjoying yourself? Are you enjoying the conversation? Because if your whole mindset is what other people do in their bedroom, it's something really wrong with you. It's something warped in your whole brain cells that you need to work on. I don't get it. And leave your foolishness out of my world. Because I don't need your foolishness and your drama. And maybe if Donnie McClurkin could get to that point, he could find someone to just be happy with and be secure. Because when you go in your house and you close your door, it's only you and that person. Keep the world out of your house. Keep the world in the world. What goes on in your house is your business. And I don't know why he felt the need to come out and tell it. Because let me tell you something. The gospel industry, the R&B industry, the music industry, the entertainment industry, every part of anything has always had somebody same gender loving in it. And while you're sitting up here, the majority of your gospel stars, the majority of them, they live their life unapologetically. They do. With their partners that are of the same sex. Yeah, I said it. It's the truth. I said it. And they're happy. They're living their best lives. So, and this is what is really weird that I don't understand why the circle that Donnie runs in, you could have already been living your best life because you're around it. So stop trying to put on facades and jump through hoops and do stunts and shows for people who at the end of the day really don't matter. Because when you go in your house and you close your door with your partner, your spouse, or whoever, it's just y'all. It's real simple. It's real simple. It's not rocket science. It's not anything else. It is just real. So, y'all do that. Stop worrying about what the next person do. Worry about yourself. I promise you, you will live a so much better life if you just focus on you. And focus on getting yourself into a relationship. Because there's so many... It's look at this. It's so many single people in this world because you too busy worried about what the next person is doing. You can't get in a relationship because you worried about what Shelly doing in her relationship that ain't got nothing to do with you. You advising Shelly on how to be in her relationship and you ain't never been in one. Your longest relationship was a week. That ain't no relationship. That's an association. Child, get over yourselves. Please, get over yourselves. You can watch Donnie on Uncensored. It was on TV One. They're going to show it 5,000 times. Go watch it for yourself. You can find Pose on FX. The new season drops May 2nd at 10 p.m. And like I say, it's going to be a 7-episode episode for this last season, which will end on June 6th. You can find the guy that came out on Lone Star on 911. I think it comes out Mondays. I've only watched it like once or twice. But y'all check that out. And go over there and tell your friends mind your own business. Mind the business that pays you. And don't worry about what everybody else is doing. And we all get to that point. What a wonderful world this would be. What a wonderful world this would be. Now, y'all know that we have endured so much under the hands of our former president and blatant racist. We all know he was a blatant racist. So we have had to endure some stuff, and constantly we're seeing stuff happen, and we have had a surge of attacks on Asian Americans. The most recent one, I watched the video and I was so devastated as I was watching the video. I could not believe what I was seeing. And it happened in New York on March 29th. And you're watching the video camera from inside a hotel. And you're watching two doormen at this New York City hotel watch a woman get attacked outside, an Asian American elderly woman get attacked outside the door of the hotel, and you watch one of the doormen goes over and he closes the door. I'm so stuck. This happened near Times Square. Now, you know, busy area, something always going on. The victim was 65 years old, and she was on her way to church. She got attacked by a 38-year-old black male. Brandon Elliott, you are the scum of the earth. You are the lowest piece of trash. Because not only, so first off, he shouldn't even be out of jail. He should not even be. He is a parolee. He was convicted of killing his mother 2 decades ago. Let me tell y'all, my mother, we don't get along. And we have issues, and I try to be social, but my mother is a piece of work. But let me tell y'all, I never said, oh my God, I want to kill this woman. I don't want to kill this woman. But this man killed his mother, so he shouldn't have never been out of jail for the first place, because there's something in his psyche that is totally wrong that, you know, that you decide you want to kill your parent. But, I mean, there are people out there, I guess there are people out there to do it, because relationships with your parents sometimes get crazy. Never would be me. But if he killed his mother, that's why you see that he was able to attack this woman. And it's nothing but God's grace and his mercy that this woman is still alive. Because the two doormen who were sitting there watching this play out didn't do anything. Didn't do anything. And after the attack, they closed the door. They didn't call 911. They didn't do anything. So they have been terminated for not intervening. They were fired from their jobs. Bye-bye. Thank you for coming. Because we're at a point now where the attacks just keep happening. Somebody has to say something. Fortunately, this man was caught. Fortunately, this man was caught. Because it could have went another way. It could have went a total different way where the man wasn't caught. Or the woman could have died. But you stood back. You watched. You watched. And now what's really disgusting to me is that the union is trying to fight and challenge their termination through a grievance process, which, of course, y'all know that can take months if you know anything about that. They said, we believe we must root out systematic racism in all forms. We believe that all union workers, especially workers of color, who are often the subject of unfair treatment on the job, have a right to a fair process as outlined in their contract. So, you're at my hotel, or you're at my apartment, and you're the doorman. My neighbor is outside getting attacked. You don't call the police. Do I want you to continue to be my doorman? Because what if that would be me? So where is some systematic racism in that, President Kyle Bragg? Where is it at? Where is the unfair treatment? Because as a doorman, you don't call when you see stuff. Isn't it your job to report stuff? And how hard was it to pick up the phone and dial 911 from inside the building? It's not hard. I promise you. All you have to do is pick up the phone. 911. What's the emergency? There's a man outside attacking a woman. Blah, blah, blah. This is where we are. Come now. That's real simple. It's real simple. But the sad part of it all is that, why are we attacking Asian Americans? Why are we even there? Because this idiot president that we had before started making all these racist comments and saying that the pandemic was, I don't even want to go back through that. But how is attacking someone gonna change anything? What do you accomplish by attacking somebody? What do you get out of it? Besides this fool going back to jail, and it's sad that you're attacking people who are walking down the street minding their own business. And I'm hyper vigilant. I'm a vigilante when it comes to my space around me. I was in, I was in Nordstrom Rack. And I kept turning around giving the man the stink eye because you're too close. In Walmart, I turned around looking at the lady. Hey, you're too close. Back away from me. We still are within the 6 feet. Social distance your ass away from me before we have a problem. And I don't put my stuff up on the conveyor belt when other people's stuff is up there. That's just me. And I'm in a hurry. I'm shopping leisurely. The woman just all up on me. I said, look, I don't need you that close to me because I'm not going to get out of here no quicker. And she wasn't standing at the end of the conveyor belt. She was walking up to where I was because the conveyor belt had moved. What? You don't need to walk up there. I ain't finished paying. Back the hell up. But I ain't turned around and started swinging on her. Even though she was in my zone. She was in my comfort space. But there's nothing accomplished by attacking people who are minding their own business. And we have to really get to the point where you teach your kids this, because they're going to grow up and think that this is all right. And it's not all right. Because what if we go back, especially it's sad when it's people of color attacking Asians. Because what if we turn around and go back to, like, you see the cops attack nothing but men of color, women of color. That's all they're doing. So how do you feel when they're doing that to you? Do you feel like it's all right for you to go do it to somebody else? What will we become as a world, as a nation, if everybody starts doing that? what are we going to become? What are we going to look like? I don't want to look like that. I don't want to be caught up in no foolishness like that. Mind your business, the business that pays you. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. And don't let somebody put hate and hatred in your heart. Just because that idiot kept saying the Asians are responsible for this, they're responsible for this. It's, you go to church and you believe that everything happens for a reason, or if you just believe in karma, some bad karma and some bad juju is going to come back on some of y'all for doing the stupid stuff that you have done to other people. I'm telling y'all, I try to stay away from harming anybody. I try to stay away from being in any situation where it's going to be an outcome of bad with somebody else. Because I've done enough dirt over the years on my own that will come back to me. And I don't need no extra stuff coming back to me. I promise you, I don't need no extra stuff. Because I have done enough dirt over the years on my own that I just don't need no more bad juju. I just want to live happy, be happy, and be at peace. That's all I want to do. As I head up on out of here, let's do some housekeeping. Thank you guys for always listening. If you want to email me, Mr. Chris, C-H-R-I-S-T, Jones, J-O-N-E-S, at gmail.com. There's some good stuff coming out on Amazon Prime. In Love, The One You're With. Check that out. It's going to be a great movie. Talks about long-term relationships with same-gender loving people. Once again, Pose, FX. So much other stuff. And I don't know why I was supposed to write that down. And I'm so sorry that I didn't. But, oh, y'all know old age. It just really is something. It's a movie that just dropped. And my brain has just went totally blank. Do y'all know what I mean when I say blank? It has went blank. And I can't tell you what the name of the movie is. That's a shame. And I wanted y'all to support this movie. I definitely want y'all to support the movie. I put it in the comments section so that y'all can go over and support the movie. Samson, that's his name. Oh my God, see, it's coming to me. It's coming to me. I'm trying to make sure I get this in. Samson McCormick just dropped his new movie. Duh. And I just told y'all the name of it. Love, The One You're With. That's by Samson. I'm sorry, my notes is so off. Starring Donahue Frazier, Anthony Bond, Danny Royce, Samson McCormick, and comedian Hope Floyd. Check it out. Amazon Prime. Go see it. And I'm going to contact Samson and see if he'll come back on the show and talk about the show. Y'all know he's been on here before, so we love him. So make sure you subscribe, follow, comment. Make sure you rate. Give me a 5, y'all. 5 ratings are amazing. I will see you again on the other side. Stay encouraged, no matter what's going on around you. Stay encouraged. Stay positive. Do some motivational speaking to yourself. You are amazing. You are great. You are going to win. You are going to overcome every bad thing that has come your way. Even if it feels like you're in a storm, even if it feels like you're in a storm, know that you are going to overcome. Have a great day. Great week, great month, great year, and stay encouraged. It's your boy, Christopher Terrence Jones. Thanks for following me on this journey and join in again as I do another Christopher Terrence Jones, the show podcast. Follow me on Instagram, Mr. Chris T. Jones Show. Peace. I'm out.